You're listening to the WGXC Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, September 30th. I'm Alana Medlock, sitting in for Phil Grant. Melanie Lukosovic is reporting in the Daily Mail the Coxsackie Village Board will hear public comment next month on the possibility of the village acquiring nearly 6 acres of the former American Value manufacturing site by means of eminent domain. The village's tentative plan is to use the property for a solar array installation. The American Valve plant, located at 170 Mansion Street, was closed in 1988. The property was classified a Superfund site by the State Department of Environmental Conservation in 1991 and has remained vacant for more than 2 decades. Under a proposed agreement, the DEC would have responsibility for any and all contamination at the site, while the village would own all but the tainted portion of the parcel. Mayor Mark Evans said if the property is ultimately used for the installation of solar panels, they would be placed on the ground surface and no digging would be required. The public hearing will be held at 6:45 p.m., Monday, October 10th, at the Village Hall. Read the full story in the Daily Mail. Katie Kosajonski is reporting in the Register Star that Columbia Land Conservancy has been awarded more than $43,000 in grant funding by the State Department of Environmental Conservation. CLC was one of 10 projects to receive the funds in the Hudson River Estuary watershed. DEC Commissioner Basil Segos said the grants will be used to, quote, protect water quality and habitats, conserve open space, and increase storm resiliency, end quote, in various communities statewide. Locally, the CLC will use the funds to create a natural resources inventory for Columbia County. The report to be prepared will include maps, photos, and illustrations to describe local water, biological, and land resources. Work on the inventory will begin in 2017. The project is a joint undertaking by CLC, the Columbia County Environmental Management Council, and Hudsonia, an environmental research, education, and training organization. Read the full story in the Register Star. William J. Kemble is reporting in the Daily Freeman, the Rhinebeck Zoning Board of Appeals has held open the comment period and public hearing on a Red Wing sand and gravel request to have its entire property considered part of a zoning district where mining is allowed. Written comments will be accepted through October 5th. The public hearing has been continued until October 19th. Red Wing has been involved in a protracted process to renew mining operations on 36 acres it owns in Rhinebeck after the language in the town's 2009 comprehensive plan was changed to include a limit to mining. The town of Livingston recently halted all mining activities and pending applications to mine for a period of 3 months in response to public concern over Red Wing's application to mine land just north of Elizaville on County Route 19. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. James Nani is reporting at the fray, incumbent state Senator George Amador has captured the Green Party line on the November ballot. The Rotterdam Republican beat out Democrat challenger Palatine Supervisor Sarah Nicoli as a write-in candidate in the primary. Amador is seeking a second term serving the 46th Senate District. A State Board of Elections spokesman reported Amador won the Green Party line with 63 votes to Nicoli's 48. The endorsed Green Party candidate, Marina Karam Seals of Saugerties, received 12 votes. In November, Amador's name will also appear on the Republican, Conservative, Independents, and Reform Party lines. Nicoli will be on the Democratic Working Families Party and Women's Equality Party lines. The New York Green Party platform features several planks not generally considered traditional Republican issues, such as public divestment in fossil fuels, criminalization of hydraulic fracturing, and public financing of campaigns. Gloria Matera, co-chair of the Green Party of New York, blasted Amador for picking up their party line and saying he, quote, has a terrible record on the environment, end quote. Read the full story at the fray. Lorna Chereau Littleway reports in the Columbia paper that Hillsdale passed a 6-month moratorium on commercial solar power installations in the town at its September 13th meeting. On the town website, the board posted that, quote, the law is intended to buy the town some time as it develops permanent guidelines for solar growth. The temporary ban will remain in effect while the board approves a proposal for Local Law 3 of 2016, which would define and regulate commercial solar facilities. The law, once adopted, would become part of the town's zoning law, end quote. Hillsdale is the latest local town to pass a moratorium and/or new laws regulating solar energy, as state laws and economic conditions make large-scale solar farms economically feasible. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Casey Seiler in Capital Confidential reports that Governor Andrew Cuomo said September 28th that the crimes in the federal complaint unveiled last week by U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara were primarily attributable to deficiencies within the SUNY purchasing and procurement processes. A SUNY president and Cuomo's former top aide, Joe Percoco, were both indicted on corruption-related charges last week. And this is what Cuomo said September 28th in Onondaga County. Quote, I read the complaint from the U.S. attorney and I had no idea that any of that was going on. When you say it was in my office, not to sound defensive, but this happened through the State University of New York, the SUNY's system purchasing and procurement process. I appoint people to the State University board, but it's not in my office, quote unquote. And the allegations are that nine individuals basically defrauded the procurement process. And the U.S. attorney wrote a very strong complaint on that case, and he's going to try that case. Personally, it's very disappointing to me because one of the people of the nine had been a friend of mine for many years, actually had been a friend of my father's for many, many years. So on a personal level, that is just very disappointing and very sad. On a professional level, as governor, if the state was ripped off, if the state is owed money and the U.S. attorney proves that, we will do everything we need to do to get the money back, end quote. Read the full story in Capital Confidential. CBS 6 in Albany reports that the water in nine more sinks at Voorheesville Elementary School in Albany County have tested positive for high levels of lead after two other sinks came back with lead levels at or above what's called the state action level. The faucets are turned off now, and officials are awaiting results from the Voorheesville Middle School and Voorheesville High School. Read the full story at the CBS 6 website. A New Jersey passenger train crashed in Hoboken, New Jersey, September 29th. Killed one and injured around 100 people, but did not affect trains in New York. Governor Andrew Cuomo canceled his trip to Israel to the funeral of former Israeli President Shimon Peres because of the Hoboken train crash. And now for the weather. Showers likely today, mainly after 2 p.m., cloudy with a high near 58. Friday night showers likely, mainly before 8 a.m., cloudy with a low around 50. The Saturday forecast includes likely showers, mainly after 3 p.m., cloudy with a high near 59. Saturday night, a chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 52. And on Sunday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, with a high near 65. Sunday night, low around 54. Sunrise today was at 6:52 a.m. Sunset will occur at 6:37 p.m., giving us 11 hours, 44 minutes of daylight. I'm Alana Medlock, filling in for Phil Grant. This is your WGXC Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, September 30th.